You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Your Annual Spiritual Checkup. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
10 years ago, a fiery train accident took place just north of Denver, Colorado. Two freight trains collided beneath an overpass, and the heat was so intense that the metal bridge beams melted like butter. Hundreds of miles back, one of the trains had been wrongly routed. And through this wrong routing, the fate of the crash victims had been sealed. For hours, they sped along the rails toward a certain death. Everyone, including the engineers, assumed they were going in the right direction and on the right track. Had someone re-examined the schedule and the routing, death and destruction could have been avoided. A similar situation often occurs in faith and religion. People assume that if they have a nominal awareness or even some slight involvement in religion, then everything will be fine. They are on the right spiritual track, they think. In His Word, however, God speaks otherwise. Our gracious Heavenly Father, in His love, admonishes all of us to examine ourselves and to look carefully at where we are going and on which religious track we are moving when it comes to faith. In the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we read, Test yourself and see if you are in the faith. Reevaluate yourself spiritually and see if you are on the right track and going in the right direction. This is, of course, these days not exactly the normal thing to do. This is not only inconvenient, it is also often uncomfortable to test our faith or to re-examine what we believe about God and about heaven and hell and where we are going to end up when this life is finished. In fact, instead of a spiritual re-examination or re-evaluation, we often prefer to cater to our sinful flesh, and we prefer the opposite approach. We like to leave well enough alone. In fact, it is generally believed that if you live a pretty good life and don't get into any serious trouble, most likely everything is going to turn out okay. As a matter of fact, even if one has gotten involved at one time or another in a few naughty or shady things in this life, this might prevent a person from getting one of the better seats in the house in heaven, but at least we feel we will get inside the pearly gates. The picture, again, that the Bible paints is very, very different. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read that in our natural state, we are children of wrath. By nature, the Bible says, we are not heading in the right direction, and we are not on the right track. In Colossians chapter 1, we read that we are naturally hostile to God. We are even fighting against God. Thus, the Bible teaches that even if we have a nominal religion, there is a very good chance that we are spiritually on the wrong track, and even on a collision course with the will of God and the gracious salvation plan of God, and the consequences will be eternally devastating. Oh, I know that by saying these things and by comparing what the Bible teaches with our own standards of spirituality, this analysis may appear a bit too critical and very harsh. However, if we can imagine that our trip through life is very much like riding on a train, then according to the Bible, the train that you and I are on naturally from our birth is a train that is in opposition to God and heading straight for hell. And this is also why the Bible says, test yourself and see that you are in the faith. If then we refuse to do this, we may, as the Scriptures teach, possess a form of godliness, but with no power. This will then be only a token religion with no power to save us. Oh, it is so critical, my friend, and it is so crucial to regularly re-examine our religion. And this is also why Jesus told one of His most interesting and most sobering parables. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like the 10 virgins who took their lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. When the 5 foolish virgins took their lamps, they took no extra oil with them. The 5 wise virgins, however, took extra oil in flasks along with their lamps." Now the Bible explains, the bridegroom was delayed in his coming, and as a result, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins, they began to get drowsy, and eventually they fell asleep. Suddenly, however, at midnight, there was a loud shout, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming!" Then all the virgins rose, and they trimmed their lamps. But the foolish virgins, they realized that they had no oil. They said to the 5 wise virgins, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise virgins answered and said, "No, there will not be enough for us and also for you. Go and buy some oil for yourselves." The foolish virgins, they hurried off to buy the oil. However, while they were away to make their purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, they went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the 5 foolish virgins arrived at the door, and they said, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Then Jesus concluded the parable by warning, "Be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour." This parable of Jesus, as our Savior speaks about the wise and the foolish virgins, is especially appropriate for this season of the year. You see, we are now entering that time of the year called Lent, and it is also during these weeks that members of the Christian church have traditionally been urged to examine themselves and to make sure that they are in the faith. But here, we need to understand the clear distinction between useless religion and saving faith. This is what Jesus was so careful to explain when he told his followers the powerful parable of the 10 virgins. As these virgins anxiously awaited the bridegroom's coming, both the wise and the foolish virgins had lamps. By this, Jesus meant that both wise people and foolish people, even today, they usually have some type of religion. The key emphasis, however, that Jesus made was that the 5 wise virgins had oil, and the 5 foolish virgins did not. And the oil that all the virgins needed, and the oil that all of us today need, if we are going to be part of the great salvation wedding feast of heaven, is the oil of God's Word. Our eternal future, our spiritual certainty, and our heavenly destiny all depends upon our possessing and our being in the Word. We need the oil of the Word, and not just an empty lamp. An empty lamp is empty religion. And sorry to say, many people today have this. The decisive difference, however, is the oil. And only with the oil of God's Word, only with the oil of God's grace, can our lamps burn brightly with true Christianity. Only with God's oil of mercy will we be enabled to cling to Christ. Our lamps of faith will then burn brightly with acts of love. And so then, my friend, do as the Bible says. Test yourself and see if you are in the faith. Don't be like one of those foolish virgins that Jesus described in the Bible, and avoid at all costs the attitude that merely having some type of religion is better than having no religion at all. Merely having a religion is no better and will be no more helpful at the coming of Christ than to have an empty lamp, a lamp with no oil. And so, my friend, there are steps to prepare for the coming of Christ, and there are steps to ensure that your lamp of faith will burn brightly when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Having the oil of God's Word will also ensure your entrance into the great wedding feast. And having this oil will further ensure that you will not be left outside when the doors of heaven are shut. First, then, make sure that you and your family are part of a church where the Word of God is preached. You know, it's quite popular these days in some circles to say that there is no need to be a member of a church. Just make sure Christ is in your heart, they say. In His Word, God speaks repeatedly of the necessity of belonging to Christ's church, which is also the body of Christ. Believing that we can live apart from Christ's body, the church, is like a finger or a leg, believing that it can exist and function separate from the human body. If we are to be faithful to Christ and His teaching whenever and wherever possible, we then need to be a member of His body, the church. Secondly, being a member of just any church or any religious group is simply not enough. For in so doing, you might find yourself in the same predicament as the five foolish virgins in the parable that Christ taught. Like them, in your religion, you might be well-intended, but you might also, like them, find yourself with a lamp of religion but no oil of saving faith. Therefore, if you and I are going to be prepared, we need to be part of a church where the saving word is proclaimed and where we can get our lamps filled with the real oil, the oil of the pure Word of God. And then this also means that we must refuse any contaminated oil that promotes man's ability to please God by his life. For real faith, we need to use only the oil of God's grace that teaches that it is the grace of God that enables one's faith to cling to Christ and to shine brightly and to do the wonderful works of love. And so refuse also to fill your lamp with the oil that says that religion is a series of rules. Instead, use only that oil that presents and keeps Christ and His forgiveness at the center of your faith. And so then, especially since we are now beginning this Lenten season, this is a time for all of us to examine carefully our faith and our religion. It is also time for all of us to faithfully listen and to immediately respond to the words from the Bible, "Test yourself and see if you are in the faith." In our day, this is most urgent. We are living in days of what many have called easy believism. Not long ago, a well-known statesman, a previous presidential cabinet member in Washington, D.C., said that the problem with our religion today is that we treat it like a taco. We dip into it, but only lightly. One century ago, one of the greatest church leaders of our nation, Dr. C.F.W. Walther, said, "The problem is that many of our people in our churches today simply have not truly repented." It is good for us to hear the admonishments of our leaders, especially our spiritual leaders. Even many of them understand that we as a nation need more than fickle religion. We need a solid faith in God and a saving faith in Christ. It is always important for us to listen to Jesus as He reminds us that unless religion is a burning fire of faith, feeding upon the oil of the grace of God, it is not a religion that will save us, but rather it will be only a religion that will eventually damn us. We will then have only the lamp, the empty container, and not the oil, which provides the soul-saving light. Therefore, my friend, as you and I launch forth into this Lenten season, let us listen with open ears to God's call for reflection and sincere repentance, and then with total trust in the grace of the God of the Bible, let us focus our faith on the bitter sufferings, the innocent death, and the sin-defeating resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, my friend, do as the Bible encourages you today. Test yourself and make sure that you are in this saving faith. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.